Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Indian Hotels Company Limited's third quarter for year 2022 earnings call being hosted by Mr. Puneet Chhatwal, Managing Director and CEO, IHCL, and Mr. Giridhar Sanjeevi, EVP and CFO, IHCL. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch phone. Please note that this conference is recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Puneet Chhatwal. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to IHCL's global earnings call for Q3 and nine months of 2021 and 2022. Let me start with some good news. We were fortunate to receive multiple recognitions on the global stage at the Hospitality Awards 2021 in Paris. These included award for Best Iconic Asset for our flagship Taj Mahal Palace, Best Team Achievement Award for our newly launched Qmin business, Best Team Achievement Award for the IHCL Goa team, and last but not the least, the Best Wellness Experience Award for our Jiva Energize campaign. Now getting on to business. If we look at the macroeconomic scenario today, there is an expected slowdown in global recovery. However, India is expected to perform better. IMF, in its latest economic outlook, has reduced its projections for the world as well as most major economies, albeit marginally. However, they increased the forecast for India from 8.5% to 9%. Even the latest economic survey from the Indian government pegs India's growth in the current financial year at 9.2% and the next financial year, FY 2022-2023, at 8%-8.5%. This will mean India will continue to be the fastest growing major economy in the world. The Indian hospitality industry has also demonstrated tremendous resilience. If we look at the Indian hospitality industry's RevPAR in the last two years, the sector has always bounced back despite being beaten down multiple times. In Q3 2021-2022, the industry RevPAR recovered to 79% of pre-COVID levels. Now moving on to the performance highlights of IHCL, specifically, on some of the key metrics. We saw a robust recovery in our rates, occupancies, and RevPARs, and outperformed the market across all three parameters. Just to take an example, IHCL's domestic Q3 RevPAR recovery stood at 89% versus pre-COVID in comparison with the 79% RevPAR recovery showcased by the industry. It is also heartening to note that the average rates in our domestic portfolio bounced back to 95% of pre-COVID levels, and the occupancies were also around 94% recovery. We also saw RevPAR outperformance versus the industry in most major markets. However, the cities of Bengaluru, Mumbai, and Delhi NCR are yet to fully bounce back, and recovery in these locations will significantly boost the sector's recovery performance. We think at least Mumbai already is on a good way since the order came out yesterday for certain relaxations which have been offered due to the decrease in the COVID cases by more than 90%. IHCL's rate premium versus the industry has grown in the last two years. This is reflective of the trust our customers have in our service philosophy, which we call Tajness, and in our brands. Our portfolio mix together with smart product renovations, innovations have also enabled this growth. We have continued on our growth path, and today I'm happy to report that IHCL is present operationally or under development in 29 states and union territories out of the 36 in India. The only ones missing being Chhattisgarh, a few states in the Northeast, namely Manipur, Mizoram, and Nagaland, and the union territories of Dadra and Nagar Haveli and Daman and Diu, Ladakh and Lakshadweep. We are present across 97 locations in the country with 210 plus hotels in the portfolio in India. This is far higher than any other hospitality company on the Indian subcontinent. We continued our momentum on hotel signings with 17 new hotels signed in the 2021 calendar year. Please note it is calendar year for the 17 new hotels, and this is across 16 cities. All were in asset light model, with 65% of the new signings being pure management contracts and 35% being leases in our Lean Lux Ginger brand. We have always given the guidance that Ginger is going to rely mainly on lease-based model, as doing management contracts for Ginger does not help in our strategy of the growth in margins. Today, we have a strong pipeline of over 60 hotels totaling approximately 8,000 keys. The pipeline is predominantly managed at 74% and mostly in India. This pipeline positions IHCL well to deliver on our promise of opening a hotel a month. In fact, in calendar year 2022, we are optimistic of exceeding the target and opening more than one hotel a month across our hotel brands of Taj, SeleQtions, Vivanta, and Ginger. Our profitable growth in new and reimagined brands of Qmin, Ama, and Ginger continues rapidly. Qmin has scaled to 20 cities and is expected to close this financial year at around 65 crores of gross merchandise value. Our aspiration is to take the brand to at least 25 cities and keep growing exponentially the GMV over the next 3 to 5 years. Similarly, our Ama brand has grown to 72 properties today, and our aspiration is to grow the portfolio also exponentially, like in Qmin, to over 500 properties over the next 5 years. Our reimagined and repositioned Ginger brand has done extremely well in terms of growth and revenue recovery during COVID. Ginger's Q3 revenue was at 93% of pre-COVID levels, and the switch to Lean Lux has helped Ginger achieve a 600 basis points EBITDA margin expansion over pre-COVID levels in Q3. We continue on the growth path for Ginger, and we expect this portfolio, both in operation as well as in pipeline, also to grow at a rapid pace. On the cost front, we continue to be razor-sharp focused and also on structural optimization. There has been a reduction of 17% in total expenditure, 15% in fixed costs, and 23% in our corporate overheads in the last quarter versus the same quarter at a pre-COVID level. If you look at these metrics on a year-to-date basis, the reduction in total expenditure stood at 27%, fixed costs came down by 19%, and corporate overheads were at 20% below pre-COVID levels. Of course, some of the fixed costs have come back, and as a matter of fact, this is mainly due to the furloughs we benefited from in countries like UK, US, and this helped us in subsidizing some of the labor costs and also certain rent favors that we got in the first year of the pandemic. We would like to reinforce the management's focus on return on capital employed, accretive operating model enabled by asset-light growth, incremental capital allocation, focus on free cash flows, and continued exploration of asset monetization. I will now provide some highlights of our financial performance, post which I will hand over to my colleague Giridhar Sanjeevi, our EVP and CFO, to speak on the details of these highlights. We delivered a good performance in Q3 with a revenue growth of 85% and EBITDA growth of over 800% versus the previous quarter. We are pleased to report that Q3 PAT was at 76 crores, which meant around 200 crores growth over the corresponding quarter of the last financial year. Our 9 months performance also saw improvement over the last year with a doubling of revenues and growth in EBITDA by close to 600 crores. If we look at the performance of the last dozen years, the EBITDA margin in Q3 this year has been second only to 1920 figure, despite decline in revenues on account of COVID. This is a clear result of the efforts on spend optimization and creation of margin-enhancing revenue streams. Having said that, I will now hand over to my colleague, Giridhar Sanjeevi.
Thank you. Moving on to some of the details of the performance, in Q3, we saw standalone performance at 771 crores. And what we are very gratified to see is that the revenue recovery was 87% in standalone as compared to the pre-pandemic period. And EBITDA margin came in at 37.7% for standalone. Similarly, on consolidated, we saw an 80% recovery as compared to the pre-pandemic period and EBITDA margin at 30.4%. For the nine-month period, I think I will just say that this 2,257 crores that we achieved in the nine-month period exceeded the revenue for the last year in the month of November itself. And I think and the margins also look consistent in terms of 19% in standalone and 14.1% in consolidated. And with this Omicron kind of going away hopefully now, I think this quarter should see improved recovery. In terms of the performance, what we have seen is that on a consolidated basis, EBITDA has been positive since July 2021, and PAT was positive in Q3 after about 20 months or so. Similarly, on standalone, the same pattern continues in terms of EBITDA positive and PAT positive. At an enterprise level, what we have seen is that the same store recovery has been at 85% across the enterprise, which is 11% better than Q2. In the domestic businesses, we were at 89% recovery, and international hotels, the recovery was 74%. In key cities, our recovery has been very good, driven by the leisure markets of Goa, Rajasthan, and others. Bombay, Delhi, and Bangalore have done well, but these are the cities which, as we said earlier, with improvement, the whole industry and our performance also will improve. In terms of the international cities, we saw a strong performance from Dubai and Maldives. USA came up to about 50% in Q3 as compared to 19, and UK came up to 80% as compared to 19. One very interesting statistics as we look at leisure versus non-leisure, the occupancy recovery both in leisure and non-leisure was about 66% in both leisure and non-leisure, and in ARR, the leisure had a 16,400 rupees of ARR, and non-leisure was about 7,500 rupees, showing the power of leisure. And with our network of properties, which is balanced between business hotels and leisure hotels, we have clearly been able to benefit. On the international geographies also, we saw some very strong recoveries in occupancy and ARR across the markets actually. In terms of key revenue drivers, I think occupancy has been strong at 51%. ADR was plus 41% during this period. RevPAR more than doubled in the 9 month period actually. In terms of asset light growth, as we said, we have built a strong portfolio and we are on track to open one hotel a month. Management fees at 158 crores were more than 80% in terms of the recovery actually. The new and imagined business of Ginger, Cumin and Ama continued to do well. In terms of the new businesses, I think Ginger had a Q3 revenue of 93%, occupancy of 62% and ARR of 2,300 rupees. Chambers did very well. We have 2,450 members. The 9 month revenue is 60 crores, which means that we are doing more than 5 crores a month in terms of recoveries actually. And in terms of new members, in management contract fees, as I said, has been 158 crores. For the 9 months as compared to the 1920 number of 213 crores. Cumin and Ama continued to do very well. On cost management, I think we continue to focus on operating leverage. And what we saw in the 9 months is that while the revenue went up by 127%, the cost increase was only 39%. And similarly, in standalone, it was 111% on revenues and 36% on cost increases, thereby supporting the leverage. This cost management came through with corporate overheads with a 23% reduction. Overall fixed cost reduction was about 19%, and manpower rationalizations continued to be our area of focus, and we were able to redeploy about 361 people. International hotels continued their recovery path, with USA and UK doing well on the revenue side and continuing to focus strongly on cost, with overall international markets showing a positive EBITDA for this period. Similarly, if I look at the different subsidiaries, all of them have kind of recovered well in terms of performance. On the debt position, we completed the rights issue of 2,000 crores in the month of December. We were able to pay down debt, and as we speak, the net debt in standalone is about 1,000 crores and consolidated is about 1,900 crores. I think that is the key highlights in terms of we continuing to see strong recovery of business, and with Q4, recovery is coming back in the month of February, and we hope to do well in this quarter as well. Open to questions. Hello? What's my name?
Thank
moderator?
You.
Yeah, we are like, no, we can.
Yes,
open
thank
the
floor you. For sure, will do. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone pad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. A voice prompt on the phone line will indicate when it's open. Please state your name and company at the tone before posing a question. Again, press *1 to ask a question. We'll now take our first question. At the tone, please state your name and company before posing a question. Your line is open. Please wait.
Hello. Yeah, hi. Hi, sir. Good morning and Happy New Year. This is Vikas from Antique. I have a few questions. The first one is, you know, looking at the southern market, we are doing much better than peers. On overall portfolio also we are doing, but there, you know, the difference is much higher, especially in Bangalore, where RevPAR is back at 77% versus 50% for the industry. What led to this performance? And, you know, most of your peers are struggling because of no international travel despite record hiring by the tech companies. Can you, you know, explain where this outperformance is coming?
Vikas, good morning. Thank you. The reason for the increase in market share, as we have said, quarter on quarter basis, is really the power of our brands and our focus on strategic growth and strategic renovation. So I think it's not just in those markets, as we have shown in the presentation. In most of the markets, or almost all important major markets, we are having a higher revenue growth index versus the peers. So we do attribute it really to our marketing efforts, but mainly the power of the brands.
Okay. Sure. I think the difference.
See, there is because if I may add, actually, see what happens is that especially during COVID, the business has, you know, shifted to more and very strong domestic focus. And so globally also you are seeing that does not matter which brand is in which market, as long as it is strong on the domestic front, it is just getting premiums, whether it's a Germany-based brand or a UK-based brand or an India-based brand. I think in the short to medium term, and if the brands position themselves well, then even in the long term, they are expected to outperform the other brands if they are very strong in the domestic market. And as we said in the presentation, we are present in 97 locations, and I think that helps in the pan-India footprint. It is not always the number of rooms that counts. It is how you cover the width and the depth of the market, which we also do regionally.
And also, you know, in your presentation in terms of RevPAR, you have showed we have already reached 89% of pre-COVID levels. Any rough timelines you would like to share on, you know, maybe when we can reach the pre-COVID level kind of a RevPAR number? And secondly, one question for Giri, sir, you know, in terms of margins, historically, Q4 is always, you know, shade lower than Q3. Plus, you know, Q4 is anyways more corporate heavy. Do we think we can sustain these margins or we will see some kind of a dip in Q4, mainly because of maybe impact of Omicron or lack of corporate travel? If anything there you can share.
Okay, before I hand over to Giri, I think your question was when do you expect to come to 100% of pre-COVID? And I think if we need to adjust for inflation, we need to come to 105-107% to have a real like-for-like comparison. There are three key markets for us. That is Delhi, Mumbai, and Bangalore. They are still at a low level of performance, you know, on averaging around 70-75%. The day they get close to 95% or 100% of pre-COVID, definitely for us, we would have crossed the pre-COVID revenue level, even if the resort business adjusts itself a little bit at a negative growth level. So we have run that analysis, and we are very hopeful that with the bounce back in Delhi, Mumbai, and Bangalore, which should happen over the next months, this should help in getting to the pre-COVID level of revenue. If we get to that level of revenue, I think what I would say is you should do the incremental cost and incremental revenue analysis and then look at the flow through. So the margins can be sustained with or without Omicron and with or without any of these things. If the incremental revenue starts coming in, because your conversion or your flow through becomes much higher after a certain cost level, as we are very much present in that higher segment very strongly, and with the new Ginger, we are also driving margins in our new portfolio. So it's a and I think Giri will add to it. It's a very big question mark in terms of as of when we will see business recovery in these three key metros.
Yes. So I think building on that, Vikas, I think margins for us are driven by three factors. Number one is the recovery in the traditional business. Number two is the cost reduction initiatives. And number three is the new narrative around the new businesses of Chambers and Cumin and Ama and Ginger, actually. I think what we are now seeing, even in the nine-month period, in fact, what is happening is that that if you look at the 30.4% EBITDA margin that we had, part of it is really coming from the new businesses, actually. And given that, so that is going to be a major factor which will help us sustain the margin of 30% or better, actually.
Sure. So I think so what you are saying is Q4, you know, there is a good chance that we are able to maintain these margins.
January will be impacted for sure because of the COVID.
Okay.
February and March, the recovery is strong. So therefore, to the extent that the traditional businesses have been impacted in January, there could be an impact. But what I'm trying to say is that there are three factors you need to consider: the recovery in the traditional business, the cost reduction, and the impact to the new businesses. All the three you should take into account. And therefore, there are some compensating factors which are definitely kind of coming into play.
Sure, sir. I just have one last question, and others I'll take it offline. So the last question is on the guidance. You know, we have shared like it's going to be more than one hotel per month. Is it going to be a similar kind of a mix which we have seen in calendar year 21, dominated by Ginger and management contracts? And lastly, you know, once this fundraising is over, overall, are you looking for some acquisition as well or anything in the pipeline? That's about it.
Vikas, you're right, the mix would be more or less the same, but as we have mentioned since the last couple of years, we are hopeful of the completion of our absolute flagship for Ginger brand at Santacruz, where construction has already reached the first floor. Now, whether it will be finished in December of this calendar year or January 2023, that certainty we'll have in the next few months. But that's a very big one, as you know, that's 371 rooms. And it's from both a CapEx perspective, from asset management perspective, in case we were to sell it and do a sale and manage back or a lease back. All these are considerations which we will discuss with our board over the next 3 to 6 months, as and when the construction has reached fourth or fifth floor and we have a certainty of the opening date. The way we look at opening dates is always 9 months prior to opening is the month of opening, 6 months prior to opening is the week of opening, and 3 months prior to opening is the date of opening. So once we get to the week of opening, I think some of these considerations will play in, and we are really looking forward to the opening of that trophy assets. Besides many other Taj properties, our second Taj branded property opening in Kolkata, in March, we have a very nice lined up Vivanta branded properties also, including in the Northeast. We're opening in Shillong, we're opening in Tawang, in Arunachal. So the mix will be more or less the same, as you have seen, as there is not focus on one brand only. The idea is to grow the critical mass in all the brands. Giri, you want to? Hope this answers your question, Vikas.
Yes, sir. The last one is on acquisition. If you are in anything targeting
any acquisition. We are always open to, you know, looking at any opportunity that comes. I think our growth of, or our addition to our pipeline and our current pipeline is testimony to that. In terms of our aggressive growth plans and our growth, profitable growth strategy. So if anything comes up which is a compelling proposition, I think we would be very well positioned to take advantage of it.
Thanks a lot, sir. That's about it.
Thank you. We'll now move on to our next question. At the tone, please state your name and company before posing a question. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'm an individual investor. My name is Aditya Podar. Am I audible?
Yes, Aditya ji, you're audible.
Okay. I wanted to know, with the, you know, the takeover of Air India by the Tata Group, what kind of business can be expected, you know, from Air India? Because currently Air India is being served on the flight kitchen by various other companies, and also the staff stays at various hotels, maybe including Taj Group, IHCL Group. So just wanted to know, what are the synergies, what kind of businesses you guys can expect? That's all.
I think it's a very good question, Aditya, actually. I think we are quite excited at the acquisition, and I think the impact on TajSATS is immediate, actually, in terms of better consolidation. And you're right that the cruise stays also would, some of the cruise stays also, we will get an opportunity to participate. And hence, and also our ability to do multiple things vis-a-vis our own customers, actually. You know, we have tried different things with Air Asia, as example, as you know, fully packages with Air Asia and all we have done in the past. Our ability to do this goes up for sure, actually. So I think overall, it's very, very positive for both the Indian Hotels as well as TajSATS, actually. And we will hopefully get the benefit of both the stays as well as the catering businesses, actually.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. That's all from my side.
Thank you. And we'll move on to the next question. At the tone, please state your name and company before posing a question. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. This is Adhidev Chattopadhyay here from ICICI Securities. I had a few questions. The first question is on the industry supply side. So in context of the successive waves of COVID, so where do you see the industry supply growth trending now, especially in the four-star and five-star category? And considering that, when do you see any significant growth or any pricing power coming back into our room rates and at around what occupancy levels? You could just give us your views on that. Thank you.
The supply has been very constrained, and in fact, it even shrunk in some of the markets. And that has helped the rates. As we have mentioned, we ourselves got to a very high recovery percentage on the rate front. The rates in resorts are definitely outperforming the rates of pre-COVID level. And as mentioned in an answer earlier, that the day we start seeing 90 to 95% recovery of rooms revenue and total revenue in the key metros of Delhi, Bangalore and Mumbai, I think the rates should bounce back. Definitely supply will remain a constraint for a few more years because a lot of, you know, the industry has struggled in the last few years, and getting loans to build new hotels is very highly unlikely unless there is such a big boom coming in the business. But that we will know over the next 3-4 quarters. As things stand today, demand will definitely outpace supply after a very long time.
Okay. Sir, and this, that's helpful. The second question is on our new brands and businesses. If you just help us understand for the 9 months for this year, what would be the EBITDA margin flow through for all the businesses combined, Ginger, Chambers, Management Contracts, and Qmin Amã? Could just share a broad
number. I would say that, yeah, about 50% plus, yeah, 50% plus, yeah. I think Chambers will be much higher because I think Chambers, the flow through is about 80%. Qmin and Amã will be about 50% and Ginger as well. So that is the way it will kind of land.
Okay.
And Ginger for the new portfolio, I would just like to add to it. Ginger for the new portfolio, yes, you know, getting close to 40 to 50%.
Yeah.
That we are still carrying some of the old portfolio, which still has to be renovated, etc., and repositioned. There the margins are lower because also of old contracts. So a lot of improvement is driven by Ginger, but is and the aspiration is to get to that 50 plus, and hopefully it will keep seeing that recovery. And this segment is also more resilient. That's why it achieved 93% of the pre-COVID revenue in the quarter.
Okay. Okay, and just my final question is a follow-up to an earlier question, actually. So if you have to understand this correctly, you're saying that when our revenues get back in the RevPAR terms to pre-COVID levels, the EBITDA margin this time should be sustainable at around 30% at an entity level. Is that a correct understanding?
So the nine-month numbers were 30% plus. Q4 may be impacted because of the way the January Omicron has impacted. But I think overall, if you ask me, sustainable at 30% next year, absolutely.
Okay. And just so any further delta beyond this 30% would be driven largely by the ARR growth and occupancy. That is the understanding, right? Over and above this.
See, it could be anything. If the restrictions are lifted on food and beverage, like, you know, just now it was lifted that, yes, weddings will be allowed, but 25%, but no more than 200 persons, right? If you start doing weddings again of 700, 1,000, 1,500 people, then there is a lot of margin in that kind of business. So, and it's a very important part of business in on the Indian subcontinent. So some of these areas, we are beginning to get optimistic with the continuous decrease from the peak of this third wave and a rapid decrease. So as and when that comes back, yes, it will be accretive. And a lot of these margins will be driven by our aggressive focus on profitable growth, whether it is new businesses or new contracts or the repositioning of the old. Like, for example, 2 years ago, we repositioned 19 of the properties back into the Taj brand, like the Aguada in Goa, the Holiday Village, the Fisherman's Cove, the Hari Mahal in Jodhpur, the one, the Grand Hotel in Lucknow, or the Mahal in Lucknow. So it's a combination of all this. That's why when we started on our journey of Aspiration 2022, we were at 17% margin. And then we gave a formal guidance of 800 basis point increase. We have not stopped there. We'll continue to focus on this journey of profitable growth. And I think when we are able to host the next Capital Market Day, we'll give exact guidance on what kind of margin we are targeting.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. That's all from my side. All the best.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question. At the tone, please state your name and company before posing your question. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Sumant here from Motilal Oswal. So my question is regarding leisure business ARR sustainability. And we have seen a significant improvement in ARR of leisure destinations, particularly Goa and other destinations also. So with assuming there will be an outbound starting maybe in 6 months, so do we think the ARR is going to sustain at this level in next year of the leisure destination?
Sumant, thank you. Not only it will sustain, we expect ARRs to grow. See, the occupancies grow, and of course, in leisure destinations is where people wanted to go to. But we are seeing a permanent shift in a certain percentage of the business where we had the term of bleisure, business plus leisure before, but it's actually going to be a permanently there going forward because that's a segment which people have now got used to. And I'm not saying it will be a very big percentage of total business, but that will help drive ARR. And that portion of the business is not really leisure. It's driven by business. And so the leisure destinations would get that percentage level, which they were not getting previously. If they had previously 10, then that grows to maybe 18 or 20. And I think that is one reason the rate will be driven. The second is obviously the change in the supply and demand pattern, as less and less supply will come in the market and demand will start coming back. Also, all these leisure destinations, look at our portfolio of palaces, Lake Palace, Umaid Bhawan, they have been missing all these international travelers. And once they start coming back, all our palaces should benefit. All our safaris should benefit. All our leisure destinations like Goa should benefit further because we have been totally reliant on domestic only. So I don't see that as a hindrance. On the contrary, if COVID gave us an opportunity to rationalize costs, it also gave us an opportunity to capture a larger portion of domestic travelers and our reach to them, which was maybe not as focused at pre-COVID level.
My next question is on the cost structure side. We have seen around still when we compare with the pre-pandemic level Q3 20 overall employee cost, we are still 20% lower. So if assuming normal case scenario, the business is going to recover at the pre-pandemic level, how much cost, particularly in fixed cost side, is going to increase? And whatever the cost structure we have reported in Q3, what cost is going to increase from here, or we are going to do maybe a 10 to 15% of more business from here without changing any cost structure?
Yeah, no, I think if I go back in the pandemic period, we had a 28% saving in fixed costs in the year 2021. I think this year, 9 months, we have seen a 19% reduction in fixed costs as compared to the pre-pandemic period. And there were two reasons why the 28 came down to 19. Number one was the end of lease waivers and the employee subsidies that we got in countries like UK and other places. That was one part of the reason. The other part of the reason is also that with activity going up, some level of costs have gone up actually. I think even with full occupancy, with full business recovery, I think this continues to be an area of focus, especially the area of manpower deployment. So productivity, to your second part of the question, is definitely going up actually. And our belief is that it will not be less than 15% in terms of fixed cost reduction as compared to the pre-pandemic level, which will be driven by redeployments, overall productivity improvements, corporate cost savings. I think all of those will come through actually.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take our next question. At the tone, please state your name and company before posing a question. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. This is Nihal Jam from Edelweiss. First of all, congratulations on the good performance to the team. So three questions from my side. First, you've given the bifurcation of the ARR for leisure and non-leisure. Just for better understanding, could you give the recovery for both these segments versus pre-COVID levels?
Yeah, recovery, okay. I think there's one of the charts. I think
till we find the exact figures, let's put it this way, that recovery in leisure is, let's say, more than 120%.
Yeah.
Definitely, and we'll find the exact number for it. And on the corporate and business side is around 80% of pre-COVID.
That is helpful, Mr. Chatwa. The second question I'll continue forward is that if I look at the city-wise performance for your hotels, as we discussed versus industry, but just comparing Q2 to Q3 for some of the business destinations like Mumbai, Delhi, Bangalore and Chennai, there is a bit of divergence in terms of how they've recovered, and even Rajasthan has seen a bit of a fall in the recovery. So anything specifically to highlight in terms of the performance in these cities which happened in Q3?
No, it's just the opening up versus lockdown. See, the restrictions, when they are lifted, the markets keep bouncing back. When the restrictions are imposed, then the markets behave accordingly. So especially it's true for these Delhi, Mumbai and Bangalore. As I said during my introduction speech, that the latest order that has come in Maharashtra and for Mumbai, it is very encouraging, although it is not giving us everything we wanted and some clarity is sought, but it's a step in the positive direction. So if you will recall, versus Q2, where restaurants were open in Mumbai only till 4 p.m., then it was relaxed till 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. and then till 1 a.m. Then it went back to again at 10 p.m. And then in Delhi, there was a curfew over the weekends. So all this has an impact on revenue, especially in these two big cities where we have large inventory and our flagship hotels, and also in Bangalore. I mean, these three cities, we have a lot of IHCL properties. And the restrictions are different in each city, and they are different in different periods of time, because this also, the peaking of the virus does not take place at the same time in each of these places. So we are now hopeful that with the trend that we are seeing, that this will subside pretty rapidly. And that is what makes the difference between quarter to quarter. So it becomes very difficult, except for the Q1, where we say because of the second wave, April, May, June was a washout. The rest of the quarters is like a different kind of an impact. I think more important, Nihal, is that It took the industry 6 to 9 months to recover post first wave. We were almost shut for 6 to 9 months, depending again on which state. In the second wave, after April, May, June, it took us Q2 to start on the recovery mode. And Omicron, I would say, is like a 6 weeks at the moment. As we speak today, it seems like a 6 weeks. So the recovery period is becoming, you know, faster, and the down period is becoming shorter.
Absolutely. I had my last question just related to that. So you mentioned that Jan obviously would have had the impact of Omicron. I just wanted to understand when you say look at the business on books and generally how the bookings have currently been coming in also in terms of traffic. Do you see that the recovery both for leisure as well as business is faster and this is just say a delay of 1 month and things are say back in Feb where you would have expected in Jan had Omicron not happened, or you expect that maybe it will just take a slightly more time for things to come back to trend?
I would say the last 1 week or so, we have seen strong pickup in the business, but we can discuss this offline in another week from now, as there are two schools of thought. One school of thought says it'll take another 3 to 4 weeks for recovery, and the other school of thought says at the speed the cancellations came at a even a higher speed, the new bookings will come in. So, let's have that with Giri or myself in a week from now. Then we will have the data because, you know, there were some holiday period in between because of the Republic Day. So we don't even have the full week, you know, which was, I was going to call it operational. I mean, a full working week. So this is the first full working week, and at the end of this week or early next week, we will have a better idea.
This is helpful. I'll surely check that. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you find that your questions has been answered, please remove yourself from the queue by pressing star two. Thank you. We'll now move on to our next question. At the tone, please state your name and company before posing a question. The line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Amit Agarwal from Nirmal Bang. A couple of questions from my side. My first question is that when I look at leisure or non-leisure, your occupancy on a quarter-on-quarter basis is going up at probably about roughly 8%-10% or 12%, but the growth in ARR is a lot more. So can I assume that, you know, you get a pricing power back around about early 60s, or what is driving a higher growth in ARR relative to a low growth in occupancy? That's my first question. Secondly, is there a change in mix of clientele which you have, and has corporate and MICE started coming back? So, and once that change in mix happens, will that lead to a further raise in the rates? I mean, what I'm referring to is probably because of staycation, you know, right now the rates still would be discounted, but so they've gone up on a quarter-on-quarter basis and a year-on-year basis also. Thirdly, just wanted to know your current operational rooms divided into owned slash leisure and management contracts. These are three questions. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll take the last question offline in terms of the operational rooms separately. But I think you're right that the ARRs have been going up, and I think that is very conscious. You know, I think number one, as Puneet said in the beginning, the trust in the brand and people coming and staying with us. Number two is the revenue management that we do. Like, for instance, there was an earlier question in terms of what happens if Air India comes in. Fundamentally, some of those things help also in terms of base occupancies, and then you kind of have the ability to charge better rates actually. And third, in terms of our strategy, in terms of market share, as well as RevPAR leadership that we want, I think that continues to be a very strong strategy at every hotel actually. All these continue to ensure that we maintain our better market shares, maintain rates, and therefore have been able to focus. I mean, ARR recovery has been a very strong focus from our side, but that is what gives us the flow through actually.
Sure. And the second question regarding the mix of clientele, is it still staycation vacation primarily, or any, you know, business as a business and a MICE started increasing?
So we did see, for instance, weddings in Q3, Business travel, as we have said in the beginning of the presentation, I think Bombay, Delhi and Bangalore, we still need to see the business travel recovery come back. Actually, we still need to see that coming back. In terms of mix of business, the transient business, the way we look at business, of course, is that the transient business is the non-negotiated business is the key. And that has definitely gone up, actually, in terms of, you know, and that is very important because the transient business helps us to improve ARRs, actually. Corporate business has been down, of course. It has been about 7%. Historically, also, it's not been a big percentage for us. It's been about 15% and all. MICE did come back because of the weddings, which came back, actually. Long stay with places like Wellington Mews and other places continues to do well. Leisure also has been a big driver in terms of things. So, therefore, from a mixed perspective, I would say that the increasing transient business and the recovery in MICE and leisure would be the reason for better air, actually.
Sure. One last question from my side. What will be the CapEx spend divided into maintenance for, let's say, FY22, which is, includes the fourth quarter, and FY23, possibly, if you can give, and maintenance and other, you know, for building and construction?
No, I think total CapEx and renovations, I would say, would be around 400 crores this year for consolidated and about 200 crores or so for standalone. I think that's a combination of all the numbers, actually. I think we can give you further breakup if you want separately, actually.
Sure. And for FY23 plan, is it possible to get the number?
The FY23 plan, we are in the process of doing our budgets, and I think it's a focused renovation plans that we have. I think, as we said, the key renovations were really this time on Taj Mahal Delhi and the Ginger Bombay, the Chambers London, and the U.S. banquets, actually. So these were the four. And now we are finalizing our thinking for next year. So I think we should be able to better answer this question in the next quarter, actually, in terms of what the CapEx spend next year is going to be.
Sure. Thanks. That's all for my side. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll now move on to our next question at the tone. Please state your name and company before posing a question. The line is open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello Mr. Puneet, hello Mr. Giri, this is Achal from HSBC. So I had a couple of questions. First of all, I wanted to understand about your plan on asset monetization. I mean, do you really think that the asset prices have come up and that gives you an opportunity to monetize some of the properties? However, if that is not the case, and you see the property prices still remain under pressure, and that means property owners which are not able to run their properties probably agree to hand over their properties at a favorable terms for you guys, for hotel operators. So then do you see, in that case, do you see an opportunity for you to grab the assets at much attractive prices? And linked to that, if the property prices are low, do you think you'll be in a position to utilize some of the GIC platform, like 40 billion, which is lying there? So if you could please help on this. Thanks.
So, Mr. Achal, the GIC platform, we have renewed it as our initial contract was badly hit by the COVID for 2 years. So the platform is there to take, benefit of any opportunities that might come up. On the asset monetization, we are not in this thing to just sell assets. What we have said is what we will sell is non-core, non-strategic, whether they are with us or in our subsidiaries or associates. Non-core is, like in the 70s, we bought a lot of flats. Now people like to buy their own flats. So we've been, getting into the flat sales. Or we had piece of land which we monetized and communicated to the market in Pune, which was in the cantonment area, which we could not do much with because the area evolved differently. Similarly, we have a piece of maybe laundry land with us for 20 years in one of the cities. Now we are not going to build laundries anymore. It does not make sense. So things... activities like this will go on. On the non-strategic sale, we were non-strategic assets. We were able to monetize, for example, in our subsidiary with this Oriental Hotels in Vishakhapatnam or in Trivandrum. where there was hardly any return, and we were able to sell and bring down the debt and either secure a management contract for a new property or enter into a term with the buyer to renovate the asset and give it back to us on a management contract. So those efforts will continue in non-strategic locations where it does not make sense to either stay as an owner or stay invested in, which was the case maybe 30 years ago because we are coming from that background of owner-operator. Today, we are still owner-operator, but owner and operator of, let's say, Taj Lands End, which we own, we will keep, and we will operate for as far as I can think. We will not monetize on those kinds of assets because they are strategic, they are value-enhancing, and they help you in building your brand and helps you to control the brand. Otherwise, for whatever reason, you tend to lose the asset, then you also lose the contract. So that was our strategy, and we stayed true to it, and we'll continue to do that going forward.
Linked to this, what about the acquisition opportunities at the right price, whether it's on the management contract or whether it's a leasing property? Do you see the property prices are really very attractive, and that gives you the opportunity to grab the properties at the right price?
Yeah, we are continuously on the lookout. Whether we buy it or somebody else buys and gives it to us or somebody else finishes it, that question depends on the right dot on the map or the right strategic fit. So we have to be aware of that. But yes, what your question actually answers is something else, that activity in this area has just recently started as the gap between a seller's expectation and a buyer's willingness to pay has narrowed significantly. This gap was huge in the last 2 years. And that's why it was difficult to see any activity because it did not make sense. It's also assisted by some of the incentives which were good for the industry, like emergency credit line guarantee scheme and moratoriums, helping people survive. So I think as and when these schemes come to an end, you will see more and more activity coming in. And also the demand and supply situation begins to settle down and mature in the new normal or in a post-COVID world. So this, yes, there is more activity, more discussions, more offers on the market happening now.
Right. So moving away from this, the other thing I wanted to understand about the supply versus demand, I think you touched upon on this already. But you know, according to the latest report from Hotelivate, the supply is expected to grow in the range of like 4 to 6%, and not more than that. While the demand could actually grow significantly, I mean, of course, on the surface levels, and then of course, given that you already at pre-COVID levels, if the demand grows significantly, do you think, or does that mean the demand could actually outpace the supply by a huge margin? So, how do you see the supply versus demand situation developing over the next 1 year or 2 years?
We answered it before also, someone else had asked the question. The supply will remain constrained and it might even in certain markets shrink over the next few years, whereas the demand will continue to grow. That is the best guess that Hotelivates, HVS, Horworth, everyone has been telling, all the, you know, the feasibility specialists or the consulting groups are guiding. We are seeing a similar trend in different markets. So it gives us the belief that demand will be stronger and supply will be very constrained.
Okay. So other thing I want you to understand about your plans around Sea Rock Hotel, so where it is lying now, have you found any JV partner? Or what is, I mean, given that such a tightness in the liquidity front, what are your thoughts in case you're unable to find any JV partner? So what are your plan? I mean, do you have any plan B in that?
Yeah, no, actually, I think as we have said earlier, I think now we have completed the acquisition of the 100% shareholding by December. So that is the first step done. Second is we are, I think, progressing quite well in terms of some of the clearances that we have, from whether it is environmental clearances or the court case. There is still that arbitration that we need to resolve, actually. And we are, so the regulatory aspect and the arbitration is still work in progress. But we continue to say what we have said earlier, which is to say that we don't want to put incremental monies. And our belief is that the day the approvals all come in, this piece of land will be very valuable, actually. So right now, there is no active work which is happening in terms of scouting for JV partners for that property. But it will come when the approvals happen. It will give us some time on this.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Mr. Giri. My last question, I mean, I'll touch base offline, but my last question is a bit of clarity. So basically, if I'm not wrong, you just said that the RevPAR recovery in the leisure market was about 120%, while in the non-leisure, it was about 80% of the pre-COVID levels. And then that non-leisure means the corporate dolls. And if it is at 80%, and yet your key markets, Bangalore, Delhi, Mumbai, the recovery remains at 60 to 70%. So where is the gap? Is it like, so leisure recovered more than pre-COVID levels, corporates are 80%, non-leisure 80%, and yet your key markets, like three key markets, are at 60 to 70%. So is it international travel which you're expecting? So why the recovery in these three markets is not looking as good as in the other cities?
See, I'll let Giri answer a bit more, but let me just say, it depends on the portfolio mix that you have. Now, we are not looking at a 50-50 mix. We have a large share of resort, but it is not more than 50% of our portfolio. Number two is we tend to forget there is also international in it. When we answered that for domestic, around 80 and north of 120 for leisure, that is domestic. But we do have a significant asset in London or in Cape Town or in US, two of them in San Francisco and New York. They are all owned assets. And they also have, they have suffered far more. You know, we know that the Omicron was first discovered in South Africa, so with all the restrictions in there. So there is an opportunity that they also recover fast. When we talk domestic, we talk about Delhi, Mumbai and Bangalore. So the numbers that we have given you are, the guidance that we have given you is in the right direction. And some of the resorts have done even 180%. We just said 120, 130 is because of the restrictions. We cannot take out, if you look at this, you can't take out April, May, June impact, where there was almost a complete lockdown again. So that is the average for the 9 months. And I think it's a good way to recovery now. If this wave goes away the way we have seen the figures in the last 3, 4, 5 days.
Yeah. I think we can maybe talk offline now, Achal, on this, actually. Let's do it offline. Let's do it.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. Giri, and then thank you so much, Mr. Purit. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. We'll now move on to our next question. At the tone, please state your name and company before posing a question. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. This is Nikhil Agarwal from VT Capital, Kolkata. Hello.
Sorry, we didn't get your name. Sorry, apologies.
Nikhil Agarwal from VT Capital, Kolkata.
Okay.
Hello.
Yes, please. Carry on.
Hello. Yeah.
Carry on.
Yeah.
Carry on.
So, sir, I want. Yes. I wanted to know the consolidated ARR and occupancy across all your brands. I mean, of course, excluding management contracts. Any figure you can give?
Sorry, consolidated?
Average room rate and occupancy across all your brands.
Yeah, yeah, across all the brands, if you see, the ARR on a same store India has been about 9,800 rupees and occupancy has been 62.7%.
Okay, so what was the figure in Q2?
In Q2, the similar numbers were 7,200 rupees and 52.7%.
Okay, sir. So, like, what is the, like, what do you think will the ARR increase going ahead? What is the time frame exactly?
So, we answered that question in the beginning, I think, in terms of ARR recoveries. And I think what we were really saying was that as the business travel comes back, I think we should be able to see the ARRs come back. I don't know.
So, my next question is, like, you said you paid down debt, you paid down around 950 crores of debt, but the finance costs have increased quarter on quarter. So, any reason for that?
Finance quarter cost has increased quarter on quarter. That's because the borrowings were there. I think with the rights issue, we have repaid down some of the debt. It happened only in the last week of December, actually. So.
Okay, sir. And just one last question: the Sea Rock hotel that you purchased, like the ELL stake you purchased right now, that Sea Rock is will be on an owned model, right?
Sea Rock, the property is on lease till 2069, and I think we will have to eventually build. And there we are saying that we will not put any more capital to that property, and we will get partners to help us with the cost of construction.
Okay. That's it from my side. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. If I may say, the last 3-4 minutes of questions, we'll take a couple of questions. Last 2 questions, maybe.
Sure, will do. Thank you. We've got just a couple of questions, actually. We'll now move on to our next question. At the tone, please state your name and company before posing a question. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Satyam Thakur from Credit Suisse. Hi, Puneet. Hi, Giri. Thanks for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yeah. Yes, of course, Satyam. Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. So, I have a question on the management contract side. So, of course, you know, you have had, very commendable increase in the size of the management contract portfolio we have in the last few years. The number of properties and rooms have grown quite well. But the fees revenue from that has not seen a commensurate increase. And so does this only set us up for a much larger increase in fees revenue going ahead as, you know, occupancies rise and operating margins also at those properties rise and we start meeting the threshold requirement in the contracts for the incentive fees portion of the fees also? Or is there, has there been some kind of a renegotiation downward on the fees during the last 2 years of COVID period?
No, Satyam, you answered. Firstly, nice to have you back. You answered the question yourself. As and when the markets improve, the revenues go back up. So if you are trading on an average, if you look at last year at 40% of revenue of pre-COVID level, and this year cumulative at, you know, around maybe 70 till the end of the year, then also those level of fees go down, and especially when you open hotels in kind of a lockdown situation. So we expect the fees or our fee business to rise exponentially over the next few years. And it's just we need some kind of a normalized situation without lockdowns. And it will have an impact on all kinds of sources of business, not only management fee business, rather the owned business, the leased business, the margins, everything is dependent on, you know, when you have a lockdown, things become, in the first lockdown, we were confronted in many places with zero revenue. So when the revenue becomes zero, the fees of zero is also zero, right? Then if there is a partial lockdown, then you're only getting a partial fee on the existing as well as on the new contracts that open up. So I think it would be fair to say that I think it will become very interesting as of next financial year to look at this fee business that we have created.
Great, that's very encouraging to hear. And the second question, I know you have touched upon this in the rest of the call as well, but because one thing which still remains open is basically how well business travel will recover. So anything you have seen from, you know, in any green shoots or any signs, say, for example, in the fourth quarter of FY21, which was far away from wave one, or just now in October, November, which before wave three hit, you know, which kind of gives us an indication that even business travel can recover quite well on both business travel related stays and as well as on the side of business driven MICE events and bookings. So on both, have you seen anything which gives us confidence that this can also recover back to close to earlier normal?
For sure, Satyam, we saw that, and as we speak also we have events booked. You must have watched on the television also some of the conclaves of various channels were kind of a hybrid event, but had more than a few hundred people attending those, whether it was at Taj Palace in Delhi or in Land's End, or even now this coming Saturday there is a big event in Delhi that we are hosting. So Monday there is another one which a competitor hotel is hosting in Delhi. So these are kind of things and activities that are happening or beginning to happen. Of course, what happens is between, let's say, 20th of December till 20th of Jan, it was only cancellations. So it starts to pick up again and people are beginning to go out and attend these meetings. The flights, one of the very good way to follow this is follow the statistics of the domestic air travel. And I think that recovered quite well till the third wave came. So I think it will have some correlation with the air travel that we have both on domestic front as well as and when they open international.
Great. Thank you and all the best.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, and we'll now take our last question. At the tone, please state your name and company before posing a question. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Puneet, hi Giri. Shalin this side from UBS, and many congrats on a very good set of numbers. Most of the questions are answered. But you know, I need to pick your mind on how should we see and project growth beyond FY23, right? So is there any thought process or any broader guidance you can offer us, you know, for a medium to long term? What is in your mind with all the levers you have, say, for next, beyond FY23, for next 3 years or 2 years? And, you know, earlier we were looking at margins of around 25%. But given the cost and all, should we, is there aspiration to, at a console level, to go to a margin in the range of, let's say, 28-30%? So just one question, or the two in one.
I don't know if you were just speaking on our mind beyond FY23 or you were reading our minds, because we just had a discussion that maybe in March we should host our Capital Market Day again and start providing this form of guidance. So please allow us a few days, Shaleen. You know, you're most welcome anytime. And we will make that announcement, preferably in a physical event in March. as we think by February, and things should be back to normal. So we are very happy to provide that guidance.
Sure. Please look forward to that then. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for joining the call. Thank you for your questions. And also the ones with whom we have discussed offline meetings going forward in the next weeks. Thank you for your continuous support and trust, and have a very good day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. Stay safe and have a good year ahead. You may now disconnect.